Let's run. Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast. Usual Friday. Hey, what is up, everyone, and welcome to Talk About It Friday, where I interview Jacob Harrod, an ex-US vet. Hey, what is up, Jacob? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, Wayne. Thanks for having me on the show, buddy.
Absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure, and it's an honor for you to be here on Talk About It Friday, because I know, boy, you've got a story to tell, haven't you not?
Sure. Yes, I do.
Absolutely. So, come on, bro. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm 32 years old, and I'm a U.S. Army infantry veteran. I served in the Army from 2004 until 2008, and I was basically medically discharged from the military.
Yeah.
Due to my post-traumatic stress disorder and things like that. So, a few years ago, maybe like in, I think, possibly 2012, I moved up here to Oklahoma, and at that time I had drug and alcohol problems,
right.
And I was really going through a hard time with my PTSD, and I stayed out at my mom's farm for a while, and then after a few years of working with my therapist, and I ended up in this program called the Oklahoma Veterans or the Oklahoma County Veterans Program, because I almost got into trouble with the law, and that's really when I started to get straightened out.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
And during that time, I met my wife, and my wife stuck with me and helped me out. And she's like one of the people that never gave up on me as far as me getting help. I don't think without my wife, I'd be where I'm at today.
Yeah, absolutely. I can say the same thing, actually, bro. You know, it's amazing what your woman can do for a man.
Yeah.
It's incredible,
amazing.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can relate to it, you know, what you were saying, because, you know, I've done some bad things. Mm-hmm. I was a drinker, and, you know, for my partner to, you know, when she got with me, she got me off of that, you know?
Right.
She changed my life, you know, for the better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, my wife never gave up on me. I mean, we went through some hard times together, and yeah. I used to, you know, get messed up all the time, and I'm surprised I'm just honestly amazed that she never gave up on me. That truly says something special about her, that she never gave up on me.
No, that's incredible, and that is, you know, that is love. And love is very hard to find, man.
Oh, yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Wow. So, bro, you know, you've been through a lot, man. And, you know, again, I really appreciate you coming on the show, because I've just got this real cool feeling that you're going to inspire millions of people out there. So where did you serve, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay, well, to start off from the beginning, I did my basic training and infantry training at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Yeah.
And then from there, I went to, well, I actually went back to Kansas, where I'm originally from.
Right.
And I was supposed to be on the hometown recruiting program, but the sergeant that was in charge of the hometown recruiting kicked me off of that because I couldn't recruit enough people. So it's not like I got in big trouble for that or anything. He just basically kicked me out of the program, and they took it off of my leave time.
Right.
And so then after that, I went to Fort Hood, Texas, and that's where I spent the majority of my career in the military. And from Fort Hood, Texas, in 2005, I deployed to Iraq. I think it was in November of 2005.
Yeah.
And then I spent a year in Iraq from 2005 until November 2006. I remember I got home just a few days before my birthday.
Wow. What was you doing in Iraq? Obviously, we know there was a war going on then, but...
Sure. Well, we, from what I can remember, when we got there, we did cycles. So we'd do like 3 days of... it's been such a long time ago, so I'm trying to remember as best as I can. But we did 3 days of FOB guard. So what a FOB is a forward operating base.
Yeah.
It's FOB. And so we'd do guard duty on the FOB for 3 days, where we'd watch out of guard towers and things like that, or we'd watch the gates. See, we were stationed at FOB Iskanderia. All right. I was with Alpha Company 167 with the 4th Infantry Division.
Yeah.
And so we were stationed at FOB Iskanderia, and what FOB Iskanderia was is a power plant. And so we'd let the we'd search the Iraqis when they came to go to work on the power plant, and we'd watch out of the guard towers and stuff. So we'd do FOB security for 3 days, and then we would do this other thing. We'd do bridge guard for about 3 days, and then we'd be on QRF.
Okay.
And what QRF is a quick reaction force. So if, like, say, there's an element of the unit that gets that runs into trouble, then the QRF goes out immediately and helps them out, and we're on standby all the time. Like, I used to just sleep in my uniform and have my, you know, my vest and my rifle and everything ready to go at all times when we were on QRF.
Wow.
So, yeah, and we did,
sorry, go on.
Oh, and we did that, and then we also, you know, had our other missions that we got called out to do, too. Like, we'd go around and search houses and things like that.
That must be tough.
It was tough, but it was one of the best times of my life, to be honest with you. I think back now, and I just think about how proud I was at that time. I mean, it was hard. I did go through some really rough times while I was in Iraq.
Yeah.
But I think back to it now, and I think if I had the opportunity to go back, I would go back because I loved it. I still love it.
Well, despite your PTSD?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sure. You know, it's weird because I've heard that, you know, a lot from, you know, ex-Army.
Uh-huh.
They say that it's the only life they're used to. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's just you get – I think what Iraq does to you is it hardens you as a warrior. And I think you get once you get that mentality, it just never goes away. Especially, you know, if you're an infantryman like me, or you're somebody that wants or that does want to do the combat, then I think that it's just something that never goes away that you got to figure out how to cope with, because it also can be a negative thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, if you've not got that fear in you that if you go there that you know that would be your life gone.
Well. It's not, there is a fear there, but it's like, I think you want to go out of love, out of love for your country. You want to protect people and you want to help people. I think what it is, I don't think it's the fact that you don't have fear. You need fear to survive.
Yeah.
But I think it's love is what I think it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with you. You see, the most important thing that I wanted to say as well is, you know, with all soldiers going out to war, even when, you know, when they lose their lives, are they actually really remembered by, you know, by the state or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're remembered here. There's people that put posts up on social media all the time to remember the ones that gave their lives. And, I mean, we do all kinds of things. They're definitely remembered, I'd say.
Yeah. The only reason why I say is because we hear a lot of with ex-Army and Marines, you know, coming home with PTSD and saying there's just not that enough support.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, it just depends on their individual path that they take. Maybe they haven't gotten to the point to where they see that there actually are people supporting, because I think it is about your attitude as well. You've got to try to have a positive attitude about things and not, we have a tendency to just look at the negative.
Yeah.
So maybe they're the people that you're talking to. It's nothing against them. Maybe they just haven't discovered that there actually are people, or they haven't, you know, gotten enough help to where they can see the positive yet.
Yeah, absolutely true. I know that you guys are trained when you're out there as well to switch off your emotions. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't say that I ever switched off my emotions. I mean, maybe some guys do feel that way. I would say that through the experiences that we go through, your emotions do tend to get shut off. But I would say that emotion is what drives you to do your job.
That does make sense to me.
Because I don't think you can ever do a really good job at anything if you're not putting any if you don't put any emotion into something. I don't think you can do a good job at it.
Yeah, that is true.
And plus, think about the love that we have for our fellow brothers. When we're out there serving in combat, well, we're doing our job to the best of our abilities because we love our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And we want to keep them alive. So we have, there is emotion involved with it. And that emotion is, it always comes down to love.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. So what situations have you found yourself being in Iraq?
Well, when I was deployed, it was pretty boring most of the time.
All right.
We'd go out and we'd do our patrols and nothing would happen. Or we'd go, there's another thing we did too that I remember now, is we would go train Iraqi police all the time. We'd hang out at the IP stations and get to know the Iraqis. And we had a mortar attack on Christmas. That was my first experience, is we had a mortar attack on Christmas.
Wow.
And then I think you get, okay, now here's the part where I do think the emotions kind of, where you start losing emotions, is you get desensitized to things like that. Like, it was kind of like a big shock, you know? I can remember it was a big shock whenever we got blown up on Christmas.
Yeah, I would be too.
But then as things continued on through the tour, you get desensitized to things like that. Like, I remember one time there was a mortar that came down and blew up right in front of me, and it was maybe like only a few meters away.
Wow.
And I was on my way to chow and I didn't do anything. I just kind of laughed about it and I kept on walking right to chow. So there's how the emotions kind of get taken out, is because you get desensitized.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm bad. You'd get most that would cry and say, I want to go home.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought, I almost kind of laughed about it. I thought it was funny, you know. And and then, you know, when you first start out with your tour, everybody is always so hardcore about wearing all of your protective gear, your Kevlar, your vest, having your weapon ready to go at all times.
Yeah.
But as the tour goes on, everybody stops caring about that kind of stuff. So then you just kind of just grab your weapon, make sure you got a magazine in your weapon, and then you make sure you got a magazine in your weapon, and maybe grab your Kevlar and go to chow rather than strap on your vest and everything else. And you'll see even like the higher up leadership start to slack a little bit.
Yeah.
And then if you get a bad attack, then they start running around making sure you got all your stuff on, everything like that again.
Wow. That's crazy. Have you ever been, you know, under attack on convoy?
Yeah, I did. I have been under attack on convoy, but not directly, more indirectly. You know, we get like sniper fire and things like that.
Wow.
And, you know, once you get sniper fire, you try to locate where the sniper's at and go get them, or, you know, have send somebody else to get them.
Yeah.
From what I can remember. And then there was one time where we were out on like a 3-day mission looking for, and this was like what we call the Father's Day Massacre.
All right.
And so what happened was, is we were out looking for 201st Airborne soldiers that went missing.
Yeah.
And everybody just started getting blown up by IEDs. And I got blown up by an IED too, and that's how I got my Purple Heart. And I got a big old chunk blown out of my leg. I got a brain injury, and that's how I got my brain injury and stuff like that. But my buddy, his name is, well, I don't know if I want to mention his name because I don't know if he'd want me to or not, but
okay.
He was one of my buddies he's one of my buddies that I went to basic training with, and we ended up in the same unit, and he actually got his foot blown off.
Ouch.
And we lost a few other guys. I don't know if we lost a few other guys that day or not, but there was a bunch of guys from our company that got hurt, or throughout the battalion, actually. There's a bunch of guys throughout the battalion that got hurt that day, and the night before as well.
Yeah.
And I remember my squad leader, he was like, you know, we were all celebrating Father's Day that day, and my squad leader was like, Happy Father's Day. I told my squad leader, Happy Father's Day, too. Then if not much longer than that, maybe like 45 minutes to, well, no, I don't know. Maybe it was a couple hours later.
Yeah.
I got blown up.
Whoa. What was your reaction when you first encountered, with the, how do I put it? Experiencing death. I mean, have you ever seen anyone, die?
Yeah, there's been a few people.
Sure. I mean, what was your first reaction?
Well,
exactly.
I guess the first time I just went back and I laid, I just laid on my bed for a while.
To be honest, bro, you said it by going silent. There's just no words to describe it.
Yeah, that is it.
It's a dangerous game, and all I say is that anyone out there that is thinking of going to the army or the Marines or whatever, you need to really, really think about this hard, because it's not Call of Duty game. It's not a playground. This is war. People die. People lose their lives.
That's absolutely true, and that's why I always want people to join the army. The more warriors the army can get, the more people that can become warriors, the better. But
yeah, exactly.
Take it seriously. Train hard. I mean, don't be screwing around, you know. Even take the little things seriously.
Yeah, that's it.
Because every tiny bit of training that anybody in the service can get, it matters. Do the best that you can do at all times is my advice to anybody wanting to join the military.
Exactly.
Serve the greater good, because if you're not doing the best that you can do, are you really, if you're not doing your best or always trying to get better, are you really serving the greater good, or are you going to become a liability for your other buddies to, you don't want to become a liability for somebody else to have to take care of.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly where you're coming from. It's like someone, you know, going in there that don't even know how to put a magazine in a weapon.
Right.
And then you've just cost that person that's showing you their life.
Yeah, that's right.
So I get you. I mean, you know, looking out for your equipment. Because honestly, I don't know everything about it, but I watch a lot of documentaries of Afghan and Iraq, and I know that, you know, you have to double time check your weapons. You have to make sure that they're clean. You have to strip them down, right?
Yeah, you got to be on top of it. I mean, there was one time we went to search a house, and I was pulling guard, and I was laying out in the prone watching the perimeter, and these guys went in to clear this house, and all of a sudden I hear them yelling for my name, and so I got up and I ran over there as fast as I could, and there all of a sudden there was this dog. See, what had happened was this guy's machine gun had jammed, and it's not really that serious of an incident, but what it was is there was this dog sitting there that was getting ready to bite him.
Ouch.
So I had to shoot this dog, and like, you know, that's just an example. What if that was a person?
Exactly.
So, but that was pretty cool. That was like one of my most memorable house searches. That was awesome. I like that one.
I've got two questions for you. The one most importantly is that, who was you fighting?
Well, let's see. We had, I'm trying to remember as best as I can.
That's cool.
I know we did have the Mahdi militia that we encountered at times. And
okay.
I just can't really remember other than that. Sometimes we had like actually crooked Iraqi police.
Yeah,
that would be working with the terrorists, like the Taliban and things like that.
Yeah,
and I would say one of the biggest things we would be fighting would be like suicide bombers and IEDs. We never, really had.
I don't know how they do that stuff. And I was talking to my partner the other day because recently in India there was a suicide bombing that killed 40 military personnel.
Yeah.
And I was like, I said to my partner, how have they got the? I wouldn't call it courage in a good way, but you know, courage to run up to someone and just unload a lot of metal. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, they just kind of get brainwashed from an early age, from a young age.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're warriors too.
Yeah.
So that's just the way they are taught to fight. And they get taught that from a very young age.
That's mad. I mean, the other one is like, when I was watching the documentary, is that some US soldiers respect the enemy.
Oh yeah, that's
really
part of I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if they respect us or not, but that's part of the code, you know. You have to respect your enemy.
Wow that's crazy. I can't get my head around it.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I wouldn't just like you know, if I had to, you know, kill an enemy fighter in combat, I wouldn't like, I would just go as far as necessary to stop them from being a threat. I wouldn't like disrespect them any further than that.
Yeah. Wow. So have you ever seen the enemy? Like maybe through a scope or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, they're hard to pick out because they, you know, camouflage themselves within the community.
Yeah, so I see. Yeah. So if like
and when I went I wasn't really a higher up person, so it was hard for me to figure out what we were doing from one moment to the next. I was a PFC for most of my time.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And then I got promoted to specialist towards the end, so I was just kind of like, they tell me to do this and I do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, so the question that I wanted to ask was like, you know, it must be really hard knowing that you're going to pull that trigger and kill someone.
I don't think it's hard in the moment whenever you have to defend yourself or others.
Oh, no, of course. No, yeah.
But afterwards, I think, is when you think about it more.
Yeah, I guess you're just trained to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, you know, and then when you get back, you just kind of decompress a little bit and you have more time to think about it. And I think that's more of the time when it hits you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then at the time, you have to stay focused. If something like that happens, you have to stay focused and continue the mission.
Absolutely. Bro, honestly, you've been a great guest on the show, man. Is there anything that you really want to get out right now?
Yeah, I'd appreciate it if people can just hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel called 30 Second Incentives where I try to help people pursue their passions by providing motivational, inspirational, and life hack videos. They're all around like 40 seconds, but the actual content is somewhere between 30 and 35 seconds. So if people want to go subscribe to my YouTube channel or even like my Jacob Herod Facebook page, I'm always trying to post up positive information on there. Absolutely. And also, if people can share my Chris Synog stuff, that'd be awesome too.
Awesome, bro. Thank you ever so much, man. And we'll talk more after the show, yeah?
All right, brother. Thank you very much. It's definitely been an honor being on your show.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon, Rockstar.
Okay.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Talk About It Friday, guys. Don't forget that you can check out Jacob in the description. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and we'll see you next Friday. We are on air. It's Talk About It Friday.